Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael O'Regan, a very good morning to you. Eamon Ryan was presented with some turf last night at that decarbonising Kerry meeting. There'll be no extra briquettes for you in September, though, Michael, I'm afraid. No new cost of living measures till October.
Looks that way, Gerry, but what a lot of people don't know, and please don't tell them, I'm relying now on our listeners to be very discreet, I have some turf in the attic, Gerry. discreetly removed from the Dublin mountains. So I'm ready for the winter. By the way, a politician being presented, I had to laugh when I heard that in your interview there, with a sod of turf. There's a precedent for that. When Kate O'Connell, remember Kate O'Connell, the pharmacist from Dublin?
Yes.
Failed to get a nomination, but lost her Dáil seat. Failed to get a nomination. And could be very much in the Fine Gael running the next time. She failed to get a nomination for the by-election. She's the woman who famously described Leonie's pals as choir boys. She was at a convention, Gerry, in Dublin 4. And some of the delegates, I would say a very small minority, resented her because she came from outside the outside Dublin and was from the country. And one woman delegate presented her with a sod of turf as of course, as a crushing insult. In other words, go back to where you came from. So, Eamon Ryan is not alone. Mind you, I hope he does put the sod to good use.
Yes, indeed, he probably will. He probably will. And he's trying to reassure people, as you heard it there, that look, we're not making this about them and us. We're not making it about rural versus urban. We're not, you know, there's a lot of scare stuff out there. We need to be calm and rational and do this in a partnership approach. And we're not going to be trying to regulate the turf out of your own use in your own home. Will he win that argument, Michael, do you think?
That remains to be seen, Gerry. No, he was very clear and very concise in that interview with you there. And it's amazing how when sometimes politicians get away from the Dáil, or they get away from a press conference with, we'll say, five or six journalists and more present, and do one-to-one interviews, they can actually be they can offer a much greater deal of clarity. Part of the problem with the Greens is they have a very good message, but they fail to transmit that message very coherently. It remains to be seen. The problem for the Greens is this, and indeed, of course, the problem for the government is this is a government, you know, program as much as a Green Party program, but the focus is on the Greens because of their interest in the environment. Selling all this, selling climate change and all this to an electorate at a time when the cost of living is going through the roof. You know, when you have a statistic, for instance, as emerged this week from the ESRI report, it found 29% of households living in energy poverty. So that makes Eamon Ryan's challenge all the greater.
Yeah, and the question of, are they going to be able to win that issue of, well, this makes it an issue that we need to move quicker now, rather than, actually, we have to put that one on the back burner, people are under too much pressure, as I put to him, look, I'm just trying to survive here. I'm a farmer, I'm a worker, I'm a PAYE worker, I'm self-employed, I'm trying to get from A to B, it's costing me way more to drive my car to do my work, I have less money, less disposable income, and you want me to do what? Put solar panels on my roof? How much is that going to cost me? Are they going to be able to win that argument, I suppose, is the question.
You see, this is it. Absolutely. The cost for some people of solar panels will be prohibitive. I mean, that's a simple fact. There won't be
a, but the green argument, Michael, is the cost will be 10 times as much if we don't do it now. You will pay heavier down the line.
And that's a fair point, Gerry. But the problem is, tell that to somebody who simply don't have the money right now. Like, it's a no-win situation, and the Greens are right. There will be a much greater cost down the road. And there is an urgency about climate change, no doubt about that. It's not something you can defer stage by stage indefinitely or anything like that. But the cost factor will have to be addressed. I think what in areas like solar panels, I think the government is going to have to go back to the drawing board in terms of government subsidies and help for people who are very anxious to get all this done but simply can't afford it. And the government is going to have to come up with some fresh proposals on that, and I would think the October budget would be the appropriate time to do it.
Yeah, and that, he was very clear, Michael, as well. Look, we can't go into a meeting with the social partners and the trade unions and everyone, a listing exercise as they did in Dublin Castle this week, and then turn around next week and rush through emergency measures saying, yeah, we're listening. That's not the honest way to do it. We need to get it right, and we need to do it properly, and budget time is the time. Along the same lines of what Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath were talking about, but not Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach.
That's right. There's now a difference of emphasis between what Eamon Ryan is saying, what the Taoiseach is saying, what Pascal Donoghue is saying, and what Leo Varadkar is saying. Leo Varadkar holding out, just a few days ago, the possibility of further relief if the petrol and diesel costs go through the roof. Very different message from Eamon Ryan and the Taoiseach and the Minister of Finance. Now, it's time, Gerry, they spoke from the same hymn sheet, because there's no point raising people's expectations and then dashing them mid-summer is not a good idea. And of course, Eamon Ryan making the argument that Taoiseach has made $2.5 billion already there in supports, up to now. He says we will go further in October, and he did make a point to you, Gerry, that there is some validity in it. I have to say it is better to get it right.
Yeah.
Now, I can see where the government is coming from in that. Let's plan this. Let's plan it carefully, where of course the most vulnerable are protected, rather than people, you know, who can afford to write out the extra cost, living yeah. costs. Would be getting the same as somebody who's in big, big trouble financially.
Yeah. Is the Taoiseach right, though, in one sense? Because things are happening globally and particularly in Europe. As I mentioned to Eamon Ryan there, is Leo Varadkar not right to say, well, if things dramatically get worse, we will have to do something? Look at what's happening in Germany. They're going back to burning coal. Their economy minister warned yesterday of a market collapse if natural gas prices continue to soar. Now, Eamon Ryan was right. He said, we have 2% Russian gas here, but we will be hit big time on the price end of it if it gets worse in Europe. So is it not right to say, well, if something dramatic happens, which isn't beyond the realms of possibility, then we may have to move quicker than October? Hopefully not.
I think it would be, but I think the problem there, Gerry, is that when you say it now, before it happens, as it were, you're raising expectations
yeah.
that something will happen between now and October. Obviously, if we were faced with Armageddon, the government would have to act. But part of the problem here is political. Leo wants to be popular. He wants to say the popular thing. He wants to go before the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party every week and say something popular, because backbenchers are getting the heat in their constituencies from people who are really feeling the pinch now in terms of the cost of living. And what he's saying is popular. It's more popular than what the Taoiseach and Eamon Ryan and the Minister of Finance are saying.
Yeah.
But how realistic is it?
That's the question. And I suppose only time will tell on that, Michael. How popular will all of them be with the public servants at the moment? ESRI report out as well during the week in relation to cost of living and the things that need to be done. And also a report out saying, effectively, don't give money in wages. That's not the way to go to try and solve people's problems. This is at a time when talks have collapsed. The Taoiseach is saying, look, we'll get back into talks. We will talk. We will work this out. Confident we can provide a deal. How do you square those two circles? A public service that wants money to address, wants maybe 7% of an increase to address it. And then all of a sudden you have an ESRI report saying, well, actually adding to current spending is not the way to go to give people a break.
You see, this is where it's getting very difficult. And look, I don't think it's realistic. It's not a popular thing to say, but it's probably unrealistic to think that in the resumed pay talks, and I presume the pay talks will resume, that public servants will get an increase to match inflation. We await that. Now, the problem for the government as well, of course, and this is just timing, it's not the government's fault, the huge increases, restorative increases for very, very senior civil servants on huge salaries. Now, this had to come. The opposition supported the legislation at the time, restoring pay to public servants. So the opposition, you know, they're crying about it on one level and giving out about it, saying introduce legislation to change. You can't do that. You can't change a binding piece of legislation to restore pay. And what would be the implications of that, for instance, for lower paid public servants? But the timing yeah. is appalling.
Either you have partnership or you don't have partnership. And again, something we referenced with Eamon Ryan this morning about the strikes that are going on in England. There's a man of Irish descent, Mick Lynch, who's grabbing all the headlines over there, the head of the RMT union, for his media performances. But Eamon Ryan making the point, look, do we want to go down that road? Do we want to start splitting things up and not have a partnership approach? And we head into serious, and it may still happen with different unions that are talking about it. We may have problems in industrial action, but we don't want to go down the road that they are in the UK at the moment.
We don't. And if you look historically, actually, at Ireland and the UK, you know, look back at when we had strikes, you know, in the past, and the country coming to a kind of standstill, we don't want to go down the road of the UK at all. And I mean, the government is right on that. And I don't think people want it either. But I think Leo Varadkar has to talk to Eamon Ryan and Micheál Martin. And quite frankly, while he's trying to be popular with people, he also should be frank with them. I mean, he's talking about, for instance, tax cuts. Now, what will probably happen is that the income tax system will be adjusted so that if people get an increase in wages, it won't disappear in extra taxation. Mm. Which, okay, you could call it tax cuts, but it's actually an adjustment of the taxation system. The other thing, Terry, of course, is expectation has been built up for October that social welfare recipients will get more than the fiver of recent years. And that also will cost money.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly will. And that's a part of the, maybe it's part of the firing shots of the debate, because there will be an eternal debate between Fianna Fáil, the Greens and Fine Gael as to which way the money goes. Whatever money. And there is still economic growth there. It's being eroded by the fact the cost of living and more money than Pascal Dunne would have liked will have to go to pay for all of that. But that there will be something. So there will be a battle. Aside from the opposition, Michael, there'll be a battle around the table of the three as to where this money goes and what it goes on come October.
There'll be a huge battle within the cabinet, particularly given that you have three parties. And of course, individual ministers will be looking for, some kind of generous allocation to their particular departments. And it'll be Michael McGrath and Pascal Dunne will be walking on a tightrope. I would say, Jerry, Pascal Dunne is looking at the current debate and raising his eyes to heaven, probably not too pleased what his party leader, Leo Varadkar, is saying. Because at the end of the day, he's going to have to do the figures and find the money. And I would say there are days in his office in Merrion Street where he looks at that painting of Village Island, which he has in his office.
And thinks wistfully.
And he looks for, and looks for inspiration.
Yeah. Michael, we'll keep it going. We'll talk more about the budget. We'll talk more about the EU. The census numbers are in. Will Kerry get an extra TD? Maybe not. We'll talk about that and more after we take these.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, when it comes to, I suppose, the political week that we've had, the machinations that there are there ahead of next elections, we had Micheál Martin last Friday in Kerry. He was meeting with the local party of Fianna Fáil. He was talking a good game about the next local elections, about the next general elections. He had a few words of chastisement for you when you were suggesting he was a bit afraid to come on Kerry Today because of all the bad news and cost of living. He said, "I'm here to deliver good news, tell Michael O'Regan. 280 jobs for Kerry." And they'll be hoping that message holds firm ahead of the elections that are a couple of years away yet, but they're starting to plan for them. The big question, though, looks like it may have been answered. Will Kerry be back to a two-constituency, three-seater? Census figures, preliminary figures out yesterday, 155,000 people in Kerry. On the face of it, that breaches the €30,000 constitutional limit. They would suggest we need another TD, but there are plenty of other constituencies ahead of us in the queue, Michael.
There are, that's right, Jerry. And in fairness, that was very good news announced by the Taoiseach last week. And when he has news like that, Jerry, he's welcome anytime. In fact, he's welcome anytime anyway. We are very, very hospitable when it comes to Cork people, as you know. Sure, we even wanted them to come to Killarney and play a match.
We did, but they wouldn't.
They wouldn't. I mean, you know, but look, that's our, we are a generous people. This is interesting, Jerry, and I can tell you, it was the subject of much talk and gossip in Leinster House this week. Now, you might think that the war in Ukraine, the cost of living, etc., etc., big issues and are discussed, but the census report was discussed, and of course the implications for constituencies. Now, that speculation will continue well into next year. We won't know until next year, really, definitively. The final census results are due in April of next year, and the Electoral Commission will make its recommendations to the Oireachtas probably in July, and then of course the Oireachtas will legislate accordingly. But so the speculation, as I say, we'll know definitively about Kerry and elsewhere at that time. An interesting thing, by the way, Jerry, is that would the government decide to legislate to allow for six-seaters, given the growth in population and the growth in Dáil numbers? We don't know that, but it can't be ruled out.
The limit at the moment is you can't be bigger than a five-seater, no matter what the population at the moment.
Exactly.
The answer is to split constituencies and increase them to three each if it comes to that. So that's an open question at the moment.
That's it. That's it. And you'd have to legislate. I wouldn't rule out that in the long term. I mean, it would make sense as well. The interesting thing here as well, I notice from these figures and the projections involved, that Dublin could gain five seats because of the population explosion in Dublin. Now, that would make Dublin already a pivotal location in terms of numbers. That would make it hugely important electorally, and of course would mean with future party leaderships, not least in Fianna Fáil down the road, although Micheál Martin is the safest houses at the moment, but he will stand down eventually, would the party be influenced to look to a leader from Dublin, and indeed other parties. You've the Green Party is a Dublin TD leading, the Labour Party, Fine Gael. An extra five seats would concentrate minds regarding the capital.
Yeah, it certainly would. Michael, a lot happening across the water. They're into strikes. The cost of Brexit is hitting home. Two by-elections last night by the Conservative Party, and the resignation of the chairman of the Tory Party, one of the key backers that got Boris Johnson into power. There's rumour and speculation online this morning that the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, is considering his position as well. Boris Johnson is out of the country for 8 days, a dangerous time to be abroad. Are we seeing the end of him, or will he survive yet again? And that obviously has big implications for the North and the protocol and Brexit and its effect on us here.
It's looking very dodgy for him now after those two by-election defeats, particularly Devon. You know, a particularly strong Conservative constituency, a safe constituency seat in the past, and even allowing for the fact that in by-elections voters sometimes turn against the government of the day. These are two crushing defeats, and it's coming on top of everything else. The interesting thing will be now, will the ministers hold firm in terms of supporting him? Now, they have done so up to now. Rumours, as you say, about the Chancellor resigning. He could resign and become the alternative leader to Johnson. And, of course, also, as you say, he's out of the country. Dangerous at a time when your leadership is vulnerable. There's a precedent in Ireland for it, Jerry, going way back to 1979. Actually, it was a retired TD who was pointing this out to me yesterday. In 1979, there were two by... Jack Lynch was under huge pressure. Charles saw he was making waves within the Fianna Fáil party. In Lynch's case, he was coming to the end of his time as Taoiseach anyway. But he was in the United States when two by-elections took place in his native Cork. And he lost both. And Lynch losing two by-elections in Cork was the equivalent at that time of God getting a rough reception in heaven. I mean, Lynch was a hugely popular figure in Cork, but also the fact that he was in the United States made it worse. And of course, he stood down within a few months. So it's looking dangerous enough for Johnson, but I think all eyes now will be on the cabinet ministers. Will they stick with him, or will they a resignation, or perhaps even a series of resignations?
Yeah, that might be the case. Michael, we'll leave it there. My thanks to you. Stock up for the winter to come is my advice after speaking to Eamon Ryan this morning. You'll have to wait till October, Michael. Thanks for talking to us.
I'm heading for the Dublin Mountains and more turf.
Great stuff, Michael O'Regan with Call from the Dáil. If you have a view on that, get in touch. More on the way after we take these.